Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to living more like Christ. Some people have done this fairly well for a few years. We're talking to a man, Josh McDowell, who's been living for his Christ for many years. Josh, I believe for 50 years, you've been passionately seeking not to study law, which was your first idea, but to proclaim the truth of Christ to a desperately needy world. Thank you so much for coming on. I am really excited about this interview. I know our listeners are as well.
Well, thank you for inviting me, or I couldn't have made it, Bill.
So if we could start, as we think about, I guess, nearly 150 books. I mean, most people I interview, if they've written a lot, they might have written 20. You've authored and co-authored, what, about 148 books, is that right?
150-some, yeah.
150-some. I mean, I can't even imagine. My fingers get tired thinking about it.
After 155, I lose track.
Yeah. But I know behind this is there, it's one central passion. It's for people to know this awesome God-man named Jesus Christ. There's no religion that offers such a thing. There's no other person that ever came to the world to bring us salvation. And I just want to personally thank you for all that you've done to touch the world with your research and your writing.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. But I can say this, your listeners, many of them would say the same thing about you. And that's what's beautiful about the body of Christ.
Yes, yes. And about each one listening, you know, all of us are made in God's image. Everyone's important.
I question some people, but I know they are. Those are the people I don't like.
Exactly. Well, I talking about all these books, I want us to go back to Evidence that Demands a Verdict. This was named one of the 20th century's top 40 books and one of the 13 most influential books of the last 50 years. That is on Christian thought, and that is as written by World Magazine. But it's had an impact on many lives, certainly on my own. How did you come to write this? What motivated you to write Evidence That Demands a Verdict eventually in two volumes?
I started out to write the book when I became very irritated with some Christian professors and students at college. And I went in the university. I was hurt. I was mad. I was wounded. And I took it out on Christians and Christianity, and they challenged me to intellectually examine it, which I thought was a big joke. But they made me so mad. Now, what they were doing was totally appropriate. I was a problem. But they made me so mad, I said, okay, I'll accept your challenge, but I'm going to do it to refute you, not to prove the scriptures of Christ or anything. So I set out to write Evidence That Demands a Verdict against Christianity. And it ended up bringing me to Christ because I found out intellectually, one, I was ignorant, and second, I was intellectually dishonest. And it brought me to Christ. And after I came to Christ, people would say to me all the time, Josh, how can we get your notes? How can we get all this evidence? How can we get all your illustrations and everything? And I thought, well, I'm going to try something. So I took 8.5, 11 sheets of paper, cut them in half, printed on both sides about maybe 20, 25 pages, stapled it together with all the documentation on the New Testament. And, oh, my gosh, it was sold out. Every time, no matter how many printed, it sold out instantly. So I knew then I was on a roll. So I said, well, I'm going to do a whole book of it. And I did Evidence Demands a Verdict, and it became an instant runaway bestseller for 54 months, I think. So now I've rewritten it. And somebody said, now, why would you? It's a total new book, 70% new. And I put it this way. Truth never changes, but its critics do. The questions I was asked in dealing with in issues 30, 35 years ago with evidence is now completely different, at least 30, 40% of it. So I said to my son, let's co-author together and do a total, complete rewrite. And it's come out now as Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World. And that's how I did the first book and started out to do the second book.
I like what you said, really two words, intellectually dishonest. It's easy for us to avoid God because maybe we don't want to be held accountable to the way we live. But intellectually, we can hold someone accountable if they're intellectually dishonest. And that's what your writing has done, largely in evidence that demands a verdict. I want to encourage anyone who's not delved into both the original versions and what came out the new version of this book. It will challenge your thinking deeply, deeply. And was it largely out of this original large body of evidence that you wrote More Than a Carpenter, which has sold over 27 million copies?
Yes, it was. I was in Chicago, and I told my wife, so many people have been saying to me, professors, students, businessmen, I wish you could have been with me yesterday. I wish you could have been with me in my office. And I'd say, why? Well, there was another professor there, a businessman, a student, all these questions I couldn't answer. But, Josh, I know you could have. So I said to my wife, I'm going to go get, I think it was 12 legal pads, go back to Larry's condominium and sit there, and I'm not going to leave or go to sleep until I write a book. So I sat down, and 42 hours I wrote More Than a Carpenter. Basically, is if I was sitting across the table from someone and said, now, how can you believe in Jesus? No, come on. How can you believe in the resurrection, the Word of God, or the Bible, or the Old Testament? And so I simply just started writing how I would answer that in a conversation with you. Never dreaming it'd become one of the most read books in history. And it's not a great book. It's a good book, but the Holy Spirit has chosen to use it. And when the Holy Spirit stops using it, it'll disappear overnight. I'm the first to admit that. But so you might say More Than a Carpenter is a very, 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 very abridged copy of Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
So what I'd like to do now is we're encouraging those who hear these books to write down the title, put a mental note if you're driving a car, and find a way to get to More Than a Carpenter. It might be the place to start for you because there is so much evidence that Jesus was a historical character, but then the idea of the resurrection shows that he was more than historical, and it's all there. What about Daniel in the lion's den? We sometimes find ourselves being criticized when we claim things like miracles and prophetic statements. Do you really believe we can support intellectually with evidence of manuscripts and extra-biblical literature and such that this guy Daniel spoke prophetically?
Absolutely. On the Evidence That Demands a Verdict, the total rewrite, we had 30 scholars, 16 scholars and 30 graduate students for 3 years work with us. That everything was checked out, documented, gone over and over. And the evidence for Daniel of manuscript evidence of the historical detail, that's what's amazing with the Bible, is even little details mentioned in the scriptures, the overwhelming majority has been confirmed historically. And when you can confirm the historical evidence, it gives you confidence with the entire book. That's not only true of the Bible, that's book with, true of any document in history. And Daniel, you can document it, and we do. Take the whole Old Testament. We have two chapters on it, on miracles in the Old Testament and the documentation of the text. And yes, you can walk away, and I feel comfortable holding my hand saying, yes, thus saith the Lord. But even more exciting than that is, what is it in this one? It's chapter 3 on the New Testament, Bill. I think it's one of the two top chapters in the entire book. It's a long chapter, too. But there's documentation in it that's not documented in any other resource historically. Now, after evidence comes out, October 3rd, many people would document it. For example, when I first came out with evidence, I was able to document 24,633 manuscripts and scrolls of the Bible. You know what I can do now? With all the new evidence out, 66,462.
Wow.
I mean, and it's documented in there. I wish every student going off to high school, the university, understood that. I don't think there's one professor in the university that knows that, whether Christian or non-Christian. So this book is very carefully done to be accurate, but everything in it is documented, Bill. So people can use it. They don't have to quote me. They can go back to the original source, check it out themselves, and quote them. And to me, it makes it more valuable. For example, with the first evidence out, this was shared with Sean and me several days ago in Frisco, Texas. This lady said a friend of mine's daughter had to do a paper for school for one of her classes at college, and she took evidence demands verdict and wrote the paper. And when she got the paper back, she got an A. But through all the thing, the professor, she had circled, you can't believe this. This is not possible. Where's the evidence for this? You can't prove this. Huh. This never happened all the way through it. But she said, I give you an A for being bold enough to write this. And a number of months later, the professor came to Christ because of that paper.
Wow.
Isn't that thrilling?
It is.
And that's how I hope others will use it, that even businessmen and everything will be able to listen to a skeptic, anyone else, and not be fearful with what they're hearing, because they'll know the answers. And I think it'll give them greater confidence to listen to somebody else's story. And I know evidence that demands a verdict will give them a greater confidence to share their own story with a non-believer.
Now, let's give the average listener, I mean, people don't often know much about manuscript evidence. Let's give them a little background. Did you just say the number 66,000?
No, I said 66,462.
Oh, okay, so over 66,000. Okay, so when we look at the Bible, we're looking at the New Testament, and we're saying we've got all these manuscripts that if you destroyed every Bible in the world, you could reconstruct it with quotes from the libraries alone of the world. But if you look at these manuscripts, they're all evidence that the Bible is what it says it is. It wasn't changed, and so forth. So if we look at other books of antiquity around the same period of time, pushing back also a little bit to maybe some of the great Greek philosophers, Josh, the typical book of that era has how much manuscript evidence?
Number two in all history is the Iliad with the 1800, 64,000 difference. But the average is about 75 to 100 average. And this is what makes, you see, the more manuscripts you have, the easier it is to reconstruct the original called the autographa and check out any errors or discrepancies. If you have, say, 10, 12, 14 manuscripts of the Gospel of John, and in John 3 you have three different versions. For God so loved the world, for God thought a lot about the world, for God thought the world was cool. How do you know what the original was? You can't with 13, 14 manuscripts. But if you have 2, 3, 400, it's quite easy to determine what the original was. And we have thousands now.
You're listening to Beyond Words Radio, and we will return right after this short break.
Life is a journey, and when we connect our lives to Scripture, it can be truly amazing. And so, Scripture Awakening is launching a brand new Bible study series called Be Next, Amazing Journey. Be Next Bible Study Series answer the What's Next question most people ask after completing our very popular Bible reading program, Bible in 90 Days, or B90. Be Next Amazing Journey is designed to replicate the successful B90 experience. Be Next Amazing Journey features in-depth, biblically sound commentary, all to help you dig deeper into God's Word. Paired with each study, you or your small group can enhance your understanding with video teachings hosted by Dr. William Campbell. Be Next Amazing Journey covers every book in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Be Next is designed to be accessible, economical, and flexible, so we offer it in print, video, and digital formats.
This month, with your gift of $30 or more, we will send you the Be Next Amazing Journey booklet entitled How to Know God's Will, which covers the books of Exodus through Deuteronomy. Go to ScriptureAwakening.com and click on the banner ad featuring the Be Next How to Know God's Will booklet. Go to ScriptureAwakening.com.
Be Next from Scripture Awakening, awakening your world to the power of God's Word.
So manuscript evidence is a big deal. As you look at the new evidence in all the work of scholars coming around your research, Josh, what's maybe the second biggest thing that impacted you that you want us to hear about?
I would say the new chapter we did on, is Christianity a copycat religion? Like everybody tells you, it was copied from the Roman gods, the Greek gods and all, and from mythology, and it was copied from other stories and history and all. And it's just a reflection of other stories. And we have got, I think it's probably the number one, two chapter, that and on the New Testament in the entire book. And in there we show and we document it that most of these other things came from the Scriptures. The Scriptures didn't come from them. They came from the Scriptures. Yes. And we document it. And I think that the whole book is worth that one chapter. Is Christianity a copycat religion? Because anyone reading that will never be threatened again or feel uneasy or not feel comfortable in answering someone that says, well, look, the Bible's just taken from other sources. The story of Jesus, the resurrection, you can find here, you can find there, and you can find there. You read that chapter in evidence, and you will never let anyone get away with that.
Wow. This is what's being taught in the high school, through the college, university, graduate school. It's just the main stream of thought that the Bible just kind of morphed and emerged over time, and it was borrowing from all the cultures. And yet, if we look at it, it's distinct from every other religion. So, Josh, I'm going to push to the next topic, but I'm really excited to read this, having seen all the other arguments. But what makes Christianity so distinct?
Oh, there's many things. One is the resurrection. Makes it totally distinct because the difference is this. Anything you see in myth, which most of them was taken from the Scriptures, it depicts the resurrection taking place by an outside power. With Christianity, it's through Christ's power that he was resurrected. Hmm. And that sets it apart from any other story in the resurrection. And then the other is almost all your other religious faiths, and we have a chapter on this, is based upon what people say. The Christianity is based upon who Jesus is. This is why when I set out to refute Christianity, I thought all I had to do was refute some of the literature and everything and what they said and show it wasn't true, and I won my case. But I was confronted with Christ, and I had to deal with him as a person. And this is why the chapter on Lord, Liar, Lunatic was one of the things that brought me over to trusting Christ as Savior and Lord.
I love that. There are many atheists.
Can I tell where people can get it?
Yes, please do.
It's very easy. Just go to Read Evidence, R-E-A-D, readevidence.com, and you can download it, pre-order, and we'll send it right off to you and with a discount. Or it shows up in the bookstores October 3rd. So just go to readevidence.com. And you can order it instantly, and it's very easy.
Talking about the idea of the person of Christ, there are many people who've come with all their arguments against God. They've come to read the Bible, and when they met the person of Christ, they were convinced. There's a certain level of evidence that is experiential, that goes beyond the intellect, because God is real. So are there things, major themes in your new evidence that, you know, that you have, let's say, avoided from the previous books, or did you kind of capture everything and distill it into this final version?
Oh, if I captured everything, it'd be 40,000 pages. You just get the table of contents, start looking at it, it'll blow your mind. For example, we have a whole chapter on this. Was Adam a real person? It is mind-boggling. I think some fresh thinking, everything. Were the patriarchs real? Were the patriarchs as powerful as the Bible depicts? Is there documented evidence for it? We deal with every type of question like that. We deal with the historicity of Daniel. We deal a whole thing on alleged contradictions in the Old Testament, alleged contradictions in the New Testament. Thing that people get thrown up, well, you know, Isaiah wasn't one book. It was two different books and not written by Isaiah. And so we just simply roll out the evidence. But what is so neat, Bill, it's all documented. They don't have to trust Sean or me. It's all documented. The historicity of the monarchy and the exile. Did the exile really take place? Can we document the monarchy as presented in the Scriptures? Yes, we can, totally, completely apart from the Bible.
Excellent. Do you find, and I think of Sean as well, we've had him on the air here, and as he's, you know, younger, maybe more into the college world, although you've spoken on how many campuses
I
now?
I thought you were going to say he's more intelligent, more observable. Oh, man, I was getting ready to bury you.
Oh, I just love the way that he's come alongside you and is picking up so much. And
I think it's coming now where I'm coming alongside him. Well, I'm not he's not introduced as Josh McDowell's son. He's now introduced as I'm introduced as the father of Sean McDowell, which I love.
Oh, that's excellent. I love your spirit. So as we get into the millennial generation, many of those on a college campuses, for example, we can produce all the evidence. Are you finding there are many who don't really care? Because in the end, they don't want to be convinced there's a God. They don't want to be held accountable to moral standards.
Oh, yeah. You will always have those people. And one thing we had to deal with today, what is truth? Is truth important? How can we know something is true? Can you believe something with a good sense of convictions? And regardless of where a person is, evidence speaks loudly. Maybe it doesn't bring them to Christ or anything. All dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit. But any person, no matter where they are, will be challenged by evidence. See, one of the big things today is how do you feel about it as being truth?
Right.
The same-sex gender debate a number of months ago was the first time that I can recall where feelings trumped science. Hmm. Feelings trumped knowledge or truth. And when the government of British Columbia in Canada a number of weeks ago passed a law that any parent can have a gender-free birth certificate for their child. And right there, why they passed the law, they put in this. We need to make sure that the parents feel comfortable.
It says a lot about where we're at as a culture. We have abandoned truth, which was a foundation for Western civilization, in favor of relativism, which can destroy our civilization eventually. Do you feel that way?
Yes. And I think we're at a critical point culturally. The whole world is. And it becomes more acute because of the Internet. Hmm. With the Internet, there's the good, the great, the bad, and the ugly. With it. But yes, you're right. Western culture is at a pivotal road. But what I can't get across to people, whether the minorities, whites, whatever, is the problem is not so much the structure. The problem is not the country, the history. The problem is the heart of man.
Mm, yes.
Every single culture in the world is a racial culture. Every single culture. If any minority became the majority in a culture, it'd become a racist culture. There was a famous senator called George Akins from Vermont, I think. He made this statement. If we were to wake up some morning and find everyone the same color skin and the same creed, by 12 o'clock noon, we would find something else to be prejudiced about. And it's true. And this is why, with evidence that demands a verdict, we put it in the context of my testimony. All truth is given to affect relationships, Bill. Hmm. Evidence that demands a verdict, to me, its greatest value is it will affect relationships, starting with your relationship with your Creator. And to me, that's what truth is supposed to do.
Because relationships are based on understanding, which is based on communication, which is based on thought constructs that are held in these containers we call truth. If there is no truth, then when you say something, I don't know that you even mean it or that it makes any sense. And there comes a place where we've got to turn a corner and acknowledge that there is reality around us and there's evidence for it. And that's how we operate in practical living all the time, all day long. So we need to communicate that way as well. So I'm just going to touch on the fact that you have done a lot to help us around these areas of confusion. I think of the book, Why True Love Waits, and many other books along these lines. But is there a single word of challenge or encouragement you'd have for us as we've been imbibing this cultural idea that what I feel is what matters most? Are there cautions?
Yes.
Are there? Yes. Help us out.
Yep. I would say, like I said to my kids and all, seek the truth as best you can without bias and prejudice. What more could a father ever desire of a child than that they sincerely seek the truth as best they can without bias and prejudice? Because I believe if you do that, as I document in the Evidence That Demands a Verdict book, it is so overwhelming, the evidence, it'll bring you to Christ if you're truly honest. And can I say again, to get the book, go to Read Evidence, R-E-A-D, readevidence.com. And you can order it today, and we'll have it in the mail to you.
And I love what you say. If you really seek the truth, it'll lead you to Christ. And we can add, who said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, as we just have a minute or so left, Josh, would you say, if you don't mind, a prayer or give a thought to help us not just to read that book, but the book, the Bible, not just to talk about God, but to know him through Jesus Christ?
I would give a thought here. When you approach the scriptures, always ask yourself, how does this apply to me? All truth is given for relationships from Genesis to Revelation. How does this apply to me? And sincerely pray that the Holy Spirit will take that truth and mold your thinking, mold your heart, and mold your behavior. That's what I would encourage anyone. And I think Evidence Demands a Verdict can help you to see the truth of Scripture. And you'll be more prone then to say, Lord, make this true in my life.
Well, let's be sure to get that book. Josh, thank you again. What you started out with in this wonderful 5 decades of impact in the world, you're bringing to us again more evidence that demands a verdict. So we are challenged, we're encouraged, and we thank you.
Hey, Bill, next time you want an interview, I will be ready.
Okay, we'll do it soon then.
God bless my brother.
And God bless
you.
And
just go to readevidence.com, readevidence.com. Take care, friend.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. And Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. Visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com, where you can download free podcasts of all Beyond Words programs.